got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Jess, I know a lot of people are talking about the AFL Grand Final that is this Saturday between Collingwood and Brisbane, but we are in a full rash in footy fever for the AFLW in 2023.
It's hard not to be, Tim, when the Cats are just doing so well.
They are joining us on the phone, one of the star players, Georgie Rankin from the Cats AFLW side. Good afternoon, Georgie.
Hey, team. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming, Georgie. You pulled the short straw coming to hang out with Tim and Jess this week.
What do you mean? I think I was the lucky one when they asked.
Righto.
Georgie, a great start to the season. You're 3-1. Big win last week in Adelaide against Port Adelaide. How is the whole team feeling going into this weekend's game?
Yeah, I think we're all in really good spirits. One of the things that I think what you learn when you come to Geelong to the club is this standard of win, lose or draw, you shouldn't really be able to tell the difference, you know, in terms of how we're turning up each session. You know, it shouldn't be the emotions off the back of that. You obviously enjoy the wins, you learn from the losses, but we're happy with the starts that we're having at the moment. I think, you know, first halves are looking really, really good for us, and then we just need some consistency over four quarters is our main aim. So we're every weekend, we're up for the challenge, and I think we're a group that just want to improve and want our performance to be at the standard that we set for ourselves as a players and coaches. So every week we get the opportunity to do that, and we've got a really big challenge against Melbourne. So I think we're all buzzing, and we've never played them before. So that in itself, it'll be the first time since we've entered the competition that we're actually playing Melbourne.
Well, that's the best unique thing about the AFLW is because there's 10 rounds, there are teams that you either might not play or you might only play in the finals. And it's a perfect start to your long weekend. The Cats in Melbourne tomorrow afternoon, GMHBA Stadium, 6:15. Perfect way to lead into a weekend full of footy. Melbourne, obviously, Georgie, have been historically, how would you put it, one of the best in the league. How do you, we know Dan Lowther, your coach, and you and your teammates, because we've been speaking to you every single week. How do you prepare to go up against the team that's undefeated so far this season?
I think it's important to, one of the key messaging that we've had all through the preseason and continued week after week is to not lose sight in focusing on everything that they're doing, because at the end of the day, we can only control what we can control, and that's how we perform and our game style. We know that everyone's going to throw something slightly different at us, so you know, looking to this week, we have looked at our ball movement, the way we want to play things on our term and our method, but definitely not shying away from having a look at how Melbourne like to move the footy and get it through the corridor and lots of link up and change. So I think it's being aware of it, and you know how every team plays, but our focus has always been, but when we play our structure and our system, then we just have trust in that, in everyone being buying into playing your role, and that's when we perform at our best. So there's a real balance, but, you know, as I said, not shying away from what they do, and they do it really well, but focusing on what we do well and why we're now having such a good start to the season and are real contenders this year.
Well,
there's also got to be a bit of a hometown advantage, right?
Yeah.
Being able to play in front of your supporters has got to give you a bit of a confidence boost.
Absolutely. And we have some unbelievable supporters. Genuinely, when you're out there and the chant starts, you can hear it on the ground, and it gets you up and about. And we see it when we get to mingle with them post-game, you know, how invested everyone is in our team. And you know, they know your backstory. You know, they know your player profiles that may have been posted on, I don't know, the Cats website or whatever it is. And we love it. So it is a huge difference. Love playing at home. You know, we've got a beautiful stadium in GMHBA. We went out the track, was it Tuesday night? And I just thought, we are so lucky. It's just a, you know, really amazing stadium. And we hear all the fans. So having them behind us as you said, super fortunate to have that home ground advantage.
Again, that game tomorrow night, 6:15, Geelong, Melbourne, mm-hmm. AFLW game at GMHBA Stadium, the best stadium in the biz, according to Georgie Rankin. Now, Georgie, what we're going to get you to do is, if you're fine to, we want you to stick around on the other side of this song. And I don't want to say that we're going to steal a direct idea of yours that's on the Yeah the Girls podcast.
We would never.
Because we're not aware of any other podcast other than our own. But would you mind sticking around and doing some Rankin with Rankin?
Oh, absolutely. More than happy to.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sticking around. Again, looking forward to a big turnout tomorrow night at GMHBA Stadium.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see everyone getting down. More than happy to, you know, spread that message. Good. I think, as you said, leading into the long weekend, let's get everyone around it.
Absolutely. Big weekend for football. But Georgie, there is a segment that you do on a different podcast.
It's called Yeah, the Girls. It's Cats AFLW podcast.
And we absolutely love it so much. When we heard that we were getting to have you on our show, we couldn't have you on our show and not do your segment.
Normally we try and think of like these really clever or overthought ideas, but when Rankin with Rankin exists, we're going to do Rankin with Rankin. So we've sent you ahead of time a couple of different categories of some top three things to rank. Before we get into it, was it challenging with the list that we sent through?
Do you know what? It actually was. And the worst part was the one around that's in relation to my teammates. And I thought, that's testing me.
We do want to start off with that one.
Yes. So Rankin with Rankin, the first one, top three most bizarre teammate habits and dob them in. Who does them? Rankin with Rankin. Let's go.
All right, starting off, so we always start from the bottom up. Starting off at number three is dobbing in my, former housemate. This is why I know it so well, Nina Morrison.
Oh, no.
So she, I don't know whether these classify as bizarre, but she has this thing on game day that she's got a puzzle book, and I reckon there's about 200 different puzzles on there. It might be Sudoku, it might be word cross things. Like, there's so many different ones that involve numbers, letters, words, and she has to complete the puzzle on game day.
Oh, no.
So it's something your granddad would do before he goes to church on a Sunday.
I've been nervous in the past that, oh my goodness, what if it comes time for us to leave the house and you haven't done your puzzle?
What's three down? What's three down?
Okay, strong start. Number two.
So number two is Michaela Bowen. And post-training games, we obviously all go and we do our pool recovery, and she jumps out of the ice bath. She will always have her socks on. So she gets in the ice bath in her socks because her feet get way too cold, and I've never seen anyone else do it, but socks are on in the ice bath.
I think that's kind of genius, though, Georgie.
But 99% of the rest of her body's cold, and it, she stops it.
Nah, but if your toes aren't that cold, the rest of you won't be that cold.
Okay, all right. Well, if that's
and when you get cramps in the ice bath, honestly, you need something helping you out because you get like toe cramps.
As two non-athletes, I'm sure we can't relate, but we understand. If those are the three and two, we're very intrigued to see number one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where I get nervous because it's all up to each person's individual, but Abby McDonald, one of our youngsters, has, and I'm going to get it wrong because I don't actually know what it's called. You know those nose puffers, like the ones that you, when you're sick and you want to like
flush it out, like when you get COVID and you go, oh, I can't breathe because of the pressure in my sinus.
Breathe. And you put the thing up your nose and you do like the little puff up your nose.
Yeah,
she has one of those like on the daily. Like that's just one of her things that she... in a way, is a bit that she loves.
I think she needs to see a doctor. I don't think you're allowed to use those for more than three days at a time.
Well, the doctor seems okay with it. So that's a consistent one. Abby McDonald has I don't know whether it's a almost, when people get nervous if they don't have that around them. So that was my number one.
We'll ask her about it when she comes on the show,
Yes,
Tim.
we'll have one in here with a K-Rock logo on it. All right, we're going to move on, and this will be the last Rankin with Rankin that we do.
Yep.
Jess, what is the second and final Rankin with Rankin today?
I love me some Pixar Disney movies, Georgie. I don't know if you're a big fan of the Pixar and Disney.
I am a huge... have you done research? I'm a huge Disney fan.
Incredible. Okay, so we want you to rank your top three Disney/Pixar movies of all time. And there is a correct answer, Georgie, and I will be judging you.
I was worried.
Honestly, the pressure. Okay, Disney Pixar. So for me, my first one coming in at number three is The Little Mermaid. That's been one since little.
Okay. Yep.
Okay, I'm getting nervous. Number two is The Lion King.
Oh. Wow, The Lion King's coming in second.
Yeah, see, Lion King's number one for me, so I'm concerned what you're putting at number one.
Okay.
This is just a personal thing. So number one for me is Moana.
Oh! I thought you were about to say Mulan, and that is undoubtedly to me number one. But Moana, it was so close. Moana, really,
Moana,
you like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I actually had a Disney 21st. Here we go. Here's a little bit of background story. I had a Disney 21st themed, and I went as Moana. So so there you go. A little bit of a fun fact.
Well, Rankin with Rankin, Georgie Rankin, thank you so much for coming on the show, having a chat about footy, Rankin some stuff. Again, tomorrow night at GMHBA Stadium, Cats taking on Melbourne, 6:15. You can still get tickets. Whistling the way home,
listening to something. All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Look, everyone's talking about the footy. Grand finals on Saturday. Collingwood, Brisbane. What we care about is the Lions and the Magpies.
Yes, and you're probably thinking, guys, that's the same thing. You'd be wrong.
You would be.
We want to talk about if we were to put an actual Lion up against an actual Magpie, who would win in a fight?
Obviously, one-on-one, heavily in the fate, like immediately Lion. I've done some research because I was like, what's a group of magpies called?
Right.
And I'm so glad I did. They are either a mischief, a tidings, or a tribe. I'm going to go with mischief.
Yeah, I like a mischief of magpies.
So how many magpies do we need in our mischief to get close to a fair fight? Because personally, I'm thinking hundreds.
Hundreds? Mate. See, I was going to say a dozen. I feel like a dozen.
Against the king of the jungle.
A dozen. Look.
Scar.
Yeah.
And let's call Zazu is a magpie.
I think if there's enough Zazus.
He keeps him in a prison made of ribs.
That wasn't Scar.
He sings for the lion, Jess. You think 11 more Zazus and they're taking over the kingdom?
But Zazu wasn't a fighter, Tim. I think magpies are a lot more aggressive.
Right.
And one magpie can do a lot of damage to a human. So I feel like a dozen could absolutely take out a lion.
So are you comparing your physical output to just under a lion? Because you think, I couldn't take on one magpie because that stresses me out. But, but 12, okay, I think if I was a little bit more put together and stronger, I could take on 12 magpies.
But I'm not a lion.
I understand that, but I feel like you're severely underplaying the power of a lion.
I think that, how many, so you think hundreds of magpies?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Well, this is what we want to discuss on 52232955. If a magpie was to go up against a lion, obviously the lion would probably win.
How many magpies do we need to beat the lion? That's what I want to know. 52232955. If you get on air and have a chat with us and talk about this hypothetical, you could win two tickets to the football grand final, not the animal final.
I cannot stress enough that this is not a real thing that is happening.
Don't call up and say, Lions by 6 goals. No, Terry, that's not what we're after. Abby has given us a call from Herne Hill. Abby, how many magpies do you think it would take to beat a lion in a fight?
Look, I've done the math. I've been Googling over that last song, and the average lion is between 150 and 250 kilograms. And the average magpie is between 250 and 350 grams. So if we do the math, that works out to about equivalent in weight, 714 magpies to equate to the weight of the lion.
So Abby, just quickly, can I just say, out of the entire year here at K-Rock that Jess and I have worked here, you've done the most research for anything we've ever talked about.
That's so true! And God, do we appreciate it.
Yeah, wow. You've really put in the work there. So you think...
So 714.
Yeah, point a lot of decimals.
So we'll round it up to 715. How about that?
Sure. But, you know, I feel like magpies are a very aggressive beast when they want to be. So I'd round it down to probably 500.
I reckon 500 is pretty bang on. I think because the line would just be so overwhelmed by that.
But even 100 would probably get it done in that case.
No, because remember, one swat of his paw and he's taken out 15 magpies just like that.
And the tornado of the magpies would confuse the lion as well.
Abby, do you want to work for this station? God, this is the best thing I've ever heard. Okay, you're in the running to win grand final tickets. And if you don't win the random draw, something's wrong. Okay, Kim has given us a call from Bell Post Hill. Kim, how many magpies do you think it's going to take to be a fully grown lion?
I'm saying between 10 and 12.
So we have the high, of someone like Abby into the gutter.
Wait, listen to my theory, though.
Listen to the theory.
Sacrifice one of their magpies to like go in at the mouth and like distract him like at the face and whatever, then probably going to get eaten. And while they're being distracted by that, the others just come on in from all angles and it can't hit them all at the one time, can it?
So true.
Honestly, Kim, the tail of a lion could take out five magpies without even its teeth, just accidental tail swaying.
Going from all angles, getting in the butt, getting in the stomach, you know, everywhere.
How's he going to take him out, Tim, when he doesn't have eyes? Two magpies, bang,
exactly.
Done.
Exactly. Cannot see, you know, trying to, you like, throw those arms and legs around everywhere and so can't get them.
This is the most, like, the two callers have represented two sides of this show so well just right now. And if you are a long-time listener, you will understand who's on which side. Kim, you are in the draw to win the grand final tickets, but I know this is the opposite of what I said to Abby. If you win, something's wrong as well. That's just not okay.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Tonight is the season finale of a show that I think we've all learned to re-love all over again. Thank God You're Here.
Honestly, it's hard not to love a show like Thank God You're Here, Tim. And it's good to see it coming back, and it's just as good, if not better, than the old version.
And I was actually devastated when I found out that the season's already over for its return. joining us on the phone before the season finale tonight is the host, Celia Pecola. Thank God You're Here, Celia.
Hello. Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so glad you're into it. This is the thing, like, with most work that I do, I'm usually quite like, oh, I hope people like it. But with this show, if people don't like it, I'm like, you're wrong.
You're the problem.
If you don't enjoy this show, I just don't understand you. If you didn't enjoy it back in the day, like, it's just joyous and silly and surprises and there's animals and it's ridiculous and I just am so into it. And, yeah, I can't believe we've got to the end of the season either.
Well, I think for maybe I'm speaking on behalf of Jess and myself as two former high school drama students. Yeah. Maybe there's a bit of extra love for us that want to play Space Jump and kind of that. you're hosting this year, Celia. Jess and I have been talking about it. We're big fans of you running the show.
I think you've done an amazing job. You rock a power suit, Celia.
You do.
Well, I feel like that's my main job, is to be a clothes horse for the suits and just be a traffic controller for comedians. That's what I do. I wrangle the comedians and I point at doors, which is the main reason a lot of people are like, oh, did you feel a lot of pressure? I'm like, I did, but also I thought it would be kind of impossible for me to break the show because the show isn't about me at all, you know?
Like, yes.
I couldn't even say what it's really about because it's so different every time. It's basically, the show is made by the experience of these comedians being placed completely out of their comfort zone and who knows what's going to happen.
Some of Australia's biggest comedians and people that we've seen maybe making a return that were on the original series. And from what I understand, obviously because you're a comedian as well, you're pretty close with a lot of these people. Is it extra fun watching your mates struggle?
Oh my God, it's the greatest. And I didn't choose, it wasn't me in charge of booking them, but if I had been, I would have booked it exactly the same way. Particularly Luke McGregor, who's my best friend in the whole world, when he had no idea and he came out dressed as Jon Snow and he was sent into a Game of Thrones environment and with a soothsayer and flames going off and it was just the best day of my life, you know? Like, and it worked. It was so good. But for me, it's been a real mix of like, mates, of enjoying being there with my mates and watching them be brilliant at it, and also with new exciting up-and-comers who were prepared to be depressed in high school when the show went to air. And then the comedy heroes who are still around and doing it, you know what I mean? Like Julia's Mirror coming back and being, it's just wild to me to remember sitting in my house watching them and then standing on the stage with them. And Hamish Blake coming back, like he, full props to him, he didn't need to come back. He could have, like, quit undefeated champion of the show. But 14 years later, he doesn't need the work. You know what I mean? He's doing stuff. the fact that he came back and crushed it again was just such a joy to see him back on stage.
Of course, if you missed any of the episodes, you can watch them again on 10 Play. And I think one of my favourite things about this season has been all the like kind of guest, the celebrity guest appearances. Like
Grant Denyer,
Toadie from Neighbours.
Poe.
Like,
wasn't that the best? That was one of my favourite moments. Episode one, poor Mark Banana. He first came through the door and he just walked in and goes, "You're Toadie from Neighbours." Funny, his brain just couldn't compute, just went, and then he ended up tickling Toadie. And he said, this is exactly what I mean. You never know what's going to happen, but particularly tonight, because it is the finale, there are some extra special guest cameos. Can't say too much, but there will be a few surprises.
Something, and maybe it's just for super fans of the first show, and I found myself enjoying the cast that are reappearing as well, that were in the first season. There's some of the Australian actors. Ed Cavalier obviously being lazy and become famous himself. It's so disappointing. But that must be really special for the cast.
Of course. So that's the hardest job in the show, by the way, the ensemble cast who have to wrangle these comedians and aren't now allowed to laugh at all. But Ed Cavalier is actually working on the show behind the scenes. So he's the ensemble director. So he's become like the captain cheerleader of them. And it's amazing.
How's you so calling him lazy back, too?
Okay. I should have read the
I know. He's actually got a whole other job. I don't, he's there. Heidi Arena, Nicola Parry and Jason Geary are the three that you'd recognise from the original series, who are, it's so good to have them back. And then a whole bunch of new up-and-coming improvisers who are, a lot of them, Paul Riley, you'll know, if you look up, Riley is the one who generally gets yelled at by the comedians. But there's often someone in the scene who, when Reese Nicholson did it last week, turned around to him and went, "Who are you?" And then so he's popped it a little bit. But, the ensemble cast are absolutely incredible, and they're doing a lot of the hard work of the show where everyone else gets to play.
Well, you can check out...
And one of them as well, someone was carried. Virginia Gay picked up one of our ensemble performers at nursing.
That's amazing. Really...
The nuns' convention.
Yes.
Well, if Celia, you want to watch Celia and the finale tonight, it is on Channel 10, and of course it will be again on 10 Play.
Now, Celia, would you mind sticking around? We're not going to make you jump through a blue door, but we do want you to play one of our games up next, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, you are hosting, so just a heads up. We'll get to it up next.
I'll go get my power suit on.
Still joined on the phone here on KROQ 955 by the host of Thank God You're Here, Celia Pecola. The season finale is on tonight. Big names, Kitty Flanagan, Marty Sheargold, just to name a few.
God, you've left the best to last, Celia.
Of the show. I know, Kitty Flanagan, I'm so excited.
Love it.
She's never been through the door before.
Oh.
And Marty Sheargold, we made him a children's entertainer last time, and it was loose. So tonight will be...
Now, Celia, we said before we went to that quick break that we want you to play a game of ours. We're not going to get you to improvise a complete radio drama as much as Jess and I would love to do that. we have a game called 60 Second Celebrity that we like to play here. So we're going to play that. You don't really have a choice. So let's jump into it.
Kara, okay. Tim and Jess. OMG. It's a 60 Second Celebrity.
Okay, so Celia, this is how it works. Usually it's me versus Tim, but today it's going to be Tim and I versus you.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to think of a celebrity that you've got in your mind, someone that has appeared on this season of Thank God You're Here, and Tim and I are going to ask you yes or no questions and try and guess that celebrity.
Okay. All right. Do I need to know intimate details about this?
we'll try and ask the most vague questions possible.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Got him.
Okay. I'm going to ask the first question, Jess. All right.
Yes.
Celia, did I play a play school host style character, and is my name potentially Marty Sheargold?
It is not. I mean, that was a wild story. Right. That was a really specific guess.
I know. You really came out the gate strong.
It's going to take a while.
I'm going to go, am I female?
Yes.
Okay. Am I an Australian female?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
That's a good question because there's been quite a few Kiwis on this season, but yes, you're Australian.
Am I more known for being a comedian or for being an actress?
Oh, comedian.
Comedian.
Okay. Did I verbally assault any of the cast members on the episode that I was on?
Not on air, but behind the scenes. Nightmare to work with. No.
Okay.
No. delightful start to finish, I think.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
15 seconds, Jess.
Oh, God.
You wouldn't do well behind the door.
Yes.
You want a clue?
A clue, yes.
Often a host themselves. It's not me, but they have often been a host.
Oh,
themselves.
Well, that can...
Potentially in a jungle.
Oh. Wait. Oh, Julia Morris!
Julia Morris!
Boom!
We got it!
Oh, that was stressful. Okay.
I was very confused because when you were saying a host, I thought, oh, maybe Mel Bracewell, but she's a Kiwi. But then I remember she's getting her citizenship, and I thought you were playing silly buggers.
See, you thought I'm a lot smarter than I am there, so I appreciate that, but no, well, I was not tricking you.
We're very, very excited, Celia. Thank you for playing our game. We're excited for you to host yours tonight on Channel 10, 7:30. Again, the guests tonight, Marty Sheargold, Emma Holland, Guy Montgomery from New Zealand, and Kitty Flanagan making her debut.
Any word of season two? Are you guys coming back again next year?
I would love to. If you're here, let me know.
Okay, fair enough.
Celia Piccola, host of Thank God You're Here. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this afternoon.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye. Goodbye.
New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.